Well, we have two readings this evening, a very short one and then a longer one. We're going to look at Matthew, his money and his master. So the very short reading is from Matthew chapter 9, verse 9. In fact, we'll read the whole of the portion, make it a wee bit longer. So Matthew 9, verse 9 to verse 13, and then we're going to read from the Gospel of Mark. Matthew, the tax collector. As Jesus passed on from there, he saw a man named Matthew sitting at the tax office. And he said to him, "Follow me." So he arose and followed him. Now it happened as Jesus sat at the table in the house, but behold, many tax collectors and sinners came and sat down with him and his disciples. And when the Pharisees saw it, they said to his disciples, "Why does your teacher eat with tax collectors and sinners?" When Jesus heard that, he said to them, "Those who are well have no need of a physician, but those who are sick. But go and learn what this means. I desire mercy and not sacrifice. For I did not come to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance." And now please turn to Mark and chapter 2 and verse 13. Again, the title, Matthew the Tax Collector. Then Jesus went out again by the sea, and all the multitude came to him, and he taught them. As he passed by, he saw Levi, the son of Alphaeus, sitting at the tax office. And he said to him, "Follow me." So he arose and followed him. Now it happened, as he was dining in Levi's house, that many tax collectors and sinners also sat together with Jesus and his disciples, for they were many, and they followed him. And when the scribes and Pharisees saw him eating with the tax collectors and sinners, they said to his disciples, "How is it that he eats and drinks with tax collectors and sinners?" When Jesus heard it, he said to them, "Those who are well have no need of a physician, but those who are sick. I did not come to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance." The disciples of John and of the Pharisees were fasting. Then they came and said to him, "Why do the disciples of John and of the Pharisees fast, but your disciples do not fast?" And Jesus said to them, "Can the friends of the bridegroom fast while the bridegroom's with them? As long as they have the bridegroom with them, they cannot fast. But the days will come when the bridegroom will be taken away from them, and then they will fast in those days. No one sews a piece of unshrunk cloth on an old garment, or else a new piece pulls away from the old, and the tear is made worse. And no one puts wine into old wineskins, or else a new wine bursts the wineskins. The wine is spilled, and the new wineskins are ruined. But new wine must be put into new wineskins." Now, our first reading perhaps gives us a measure of this man called Matthew. He mentions in one single verse what happened to him. He heard two words. And you must have heard of the Lord Jesus Christ before. A random stranger just doesn't come up to a tax collector and say, "Follow me." Now, we know grace is at work. We know providence is at work. We know that Matthew had heard the Lord Jesus perhaps in the past and knew a little bit about him. But he heard those words, and in instant obedience, he left everything he had and followed him. And yet, being the self-effacing man he was, he just mentions it in one verse. "This is my conversion. I was sitting at the tax office, but with no lights, no blinding sounds, no great emotion. This man, Jesus Christ, the Son of God, he came up to me and he said, 'Follow me.'" That gives us an idea of what kind of man Matthew was. Because we know, don't we, that many disciples would subscribe to the saying, "I must decrease, he must increase, or he must increase, I must decrease. It's not all about me, it's all about him." And there will be a time when we'll be able to say fully what happened and why it happened, but for the time being, Matthew keeps it short and sweet. So Matthew, who's also known as Levi, gives us a very interesting take for a very, very, very mini sermon, because Levi, you can sum up the life of Matthew from his work from the name Levi with four different words: evil, vile, veil, and live. Matthew was evil and vile. Tax collectors were hated. They work for the Romans. They work for the enemy. And Levi could be described as evil and vile. And perhaps he, more than all people, felt himself to be that. But he led a comfortable life. He was making plenty of money. He had his own set of friends. Those very friends, when he was converted, he invited to come and meet the Lord Jesus Christ. Perhaps he did draw a veil over his life because he didn't really want to know what he was really like inside. Because the Bible tells us our hearts are deceitful above all things and desperately wicked, but only God can know them. And yes, he was given an invitation to live. I think that was a book by a Christian author, wasn't it? Invitation to live. So he was evil and vile. He drew a veil over his life because he didn't really want people to know what he was like. But the Lord Jesus Christ can see right through us. We can't pull the wool over his eyes. He was given an invitation to live and he grasped it with both hands. And his world was literally turned upside down. If any man be in Christ Jesus, says Paul to the Corinthians, he is a new creature. And that's how radical the Christian faith is. It doesn't just change a person on the outside, it changes a person on the inside. And when a person is changed on the inside, the outside must change. That's what we heard, didn't we, on Sunday evening about the gift of the Holy Spirit, this divine third person of the Trinity. We are being sanctified day by day by day. We are works in progress. And it's God who's working in us. Because if any man is in Christ Jesus, he is a new creature. Old things have passed away. Matthew, your old life, leave it and follow me. And behold, all things become new. Another point about the story we've been reading about is the deception and the subtlety and the lies of Satan, who would have us understand that money is the root of all evil. The Bible does not say that money is the root of all evil. But say to people, what do you think about money? Oh, doesn't it say in the Bible that money is the root of all evil? No, it doesn't. Satan is very devious and subtle and shifty. There is nothing wrong in money. The love of money is the root of all evil. And that's what lay at the root of Matthew's life. The love of money is the root of all evil. Here it is. It's been read so often it's split in half. It's Bible characters from the Old and New Testaments. I love reading Alexander White. If you have a chance to buy this book, one of my three favourite daughters, Ruth, well, they're all my favourite daughters, but anyway, she bought me this. In his own inimitable style, this is what Alexander White writes about Matthew. It's brilliant. Matthew loved money. Matthew, like Jesus, must have money. With clean hands if he could, but clean hands or unclean, Matthew must have money. Now the surest way and the shortest way for Matthew to make money in the Galilee of that day was to take sides with Caesar and to become one of Caesar's tax gatherers. This, to be sure, would be for Matthew to sell himself to the service of the oppressors of his people. But Matthew made up his mind and determined to do it. Matthew will set his face like a flint for a few years, and then he'll retire from his toll booth to spend his rich old age in peace and quietness. He'll furnish a country house for himself up among the hills of Galilee, and he'll devote his last days to deeds of devotion and charity. And thus it was that Matthew, a son of Abraham, was found in the unpatriotic and ostracised position of a publican in Capernaum. The publicans were hard-hearted, extortionate and utterly demoralised men. Their peculiar employment either already found them all that, or else it soon made them all that, publicans and sinners. Publicans and harlots, we continually come on language like that in the pages of the four Gospels. What a reputation to be a publican and a sinner. Our second quotation. Jesus of Nazareth, the carpenter's son, knew Matthew, the publican, quite well. Perhaps only too well. Jesus and his mother had by this time migrated from Nazareth to Capernaum. He'd often been in Matthew's tollbooth with his mother's taxes and with other poor people's taxes. Even if not for himself and for his widowed mother, the carpenter would often leave his bench to go to Matthew's tollbooth to expostulate with him and to negotiate with him and to become surety for him for this and that poor neighbour who had fallen into sickness or into a debt he was not able to pay. The sweat of Jesus' own brow had often more than once gone to settle Matthew's extortionate charges. You wonder why on earth this man Matthew was to be chosen indeed to be a follower of the Lord Jesus Christ. But there is the amazing story of grace. Wouldn't it be interesting, as we've read that about Matthew, to compare and contrast the conversions of two tax collectors, Zacchaeus and Matthew. And Matthew was told to follow the Lord Jesus Christ, to leave everything behind, where Zacchaeus was saying, no, don't follow me, stay where you are. We don't read of Matthew, but I'm sure he did, of making this amazing offer like Zacchaeus. Lord, I will pay back so much more than I've taken. Great, this day of salvation has come to your house. We don't read that about Matthew. But we do know this, that Matthew followed the Lord Jesus Christ. And I am sure there was a time when he had to speak to the Lord Jesus Christ and confess all the chicanery he'd been up to and all those debts were settled, because the Lord knew what Matthew knew and he wanted to set the record straight. So what happened to Matthew? His world was turned upside down. Just turn to a verse in Psalm 110, which is an amazing verse, which I've always remembered because it does you good to read the Psalms again and again and again and again at our church, because you come across little verses and they stick in your mind and you make a note of them. Psalm 110, verse 3. Your people shall be volunteers in the day of your power. If you're a Christian tonight, you're a willing volunteer in the service of the Lord Jesus Christ. He didn't bargain with you. He didn't make you an offer you couldn't refuse in that sense. When he said the words, follow me, to Matthew, Matthew had nothing else but to follow him. Because these were powerful words. These words were effectual words. And it must have been amazing for Matthew just to get up, and not like a robot, but in full understanding of what he was doing, walking away from his old life and following the Lord Jesus Christ, and nothing would be the same again. I'd call that a dramatic conversion, wouldn't you? And there are people who've had such dramatic conversions. But it wasn't just that Matthew walked away from his old life. He wanted to invite all his friends into his new life. And so we see that when he comes and recognises what's happened, he knows that he's totally depraved. He believes in unconditional election. He believes in limited atonement. He believes in irresistible grace. And he believes in the perseverance of the saints, those wonderful T-U-L-I-P. Back then it didn't make sense to him, but as his Christian life went on, he could see his life had been turned upside down, and he could see the amazing change that Jesus Christ had made to him. And so here he is, a man with his life turned upside down. We used to have a group in the back called the Covenanters every Sunday morning with Malcolm Curry. And I remember Malcolm describing to us about a compass. And if a compass is 1 degree out, if it carries on at 1 degree out, if you're following it, sooner or later you'll be completely and utterly lost. And many, many people think that our moral compass is out. Yes, it is. We only have to look at what's been happening just the other side of a county down the road in Lancashire and the dreadful scenes last night and the horrible things that happened there. But all of our moral compasses are out. We've all sinned and come short of the glory of God. And not just by 1 degree either. We can be vile. We can be evil. We can draw a veil over our life. And the invitation there is for us to live. John Palmer was telling me a couple of weeks ago about a Scottish preacher. And the people in his conversation knew the gospel off by heart. So he never preached the gospel to them. Every single week he'd preach about the Ten Commandments and remind them what totally depraved, horrible people they were. Until slowly but surely, the penny started to drop. And in their pride, and in their ignorance, if you like, they could see what a great gospel, how great is the gospel of our glorious God. And by preaching the law, and by hammering home how they broke it day after day after day after day, and they weren't to rest in their laurels, that they took communion once a month, they were members of a church, etc., etc., they suddenly came to realise what an awful thing it is to break God's law and to be a sinner, condemned, unclean. And that's when they appreciated the gospel. And sometimes perhaps that needs to happen to us. As we grow used to hearing week after week after week, perhaps we need to put the boot on the other foot, if you like, and hear about our law breaking and our evil and all the things that are in our life that we try to hide from everyone else but can never hide from God. Well, maybe Matthew was like that. But when he heard the gospel for the first time, when he heard Jesus Christ speak, he was a changed man. How was Matthew's life turned upside down? Well, we only have to read the Gospel of Matthew to see what Matthew was trusted to do. And this is perhaps one of the most amazing aspects of Matthew's life. Matthew became the trusted writer of what the Lord Jesus Christ said. So if we turn to Matthew chapter 5, we can read a word-by-word account of what Matthew wrote as the Lord Jesus Christ was preaching by the seaside, because it was Matthew who took down word for word, Matthew 5, all the Beatitudes, and seeing the multitudes, etc. Believers are salt and light, and there Matthew was writing away, listening carefully to the words of the Lord Jesus Christ and noting down every single word. Christ fulfills the law. Murder begins in the heart. Adultery in the heart. Marriage is sacred and binding. These are very weighty matters. And yet Matthew was trusted, this man who used to fiddle the books and couldn't be trusted to give a right answer to a right question and was looking after himself. Now the Lord Jesus Christ said, follow me, and this is what you're going to do. Marriage is sacred and binding. Jesus forbids oaths. Go the second mile. Love your enemies. Do good to please God. And then finally, and perhaps the culmination and the masterpiece, the Lord Jesus Christ, as he gives a model prayer, the Lord's Prayer. It was Matthew who took down these words. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done. On earth as it is in heaven, give us this day our daily bread. Forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. Do not lead us into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. For yours is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever and ever. Amen. And then the Lord Jesus Christ carries on speaking. And for about 40, 50, 60 minutes, Matthew's there writing it all down. Till finally it comes to an end and the Beatitudes are over. And the Lord Jesus Christ, every single word has been taken over and taken down by Matthew. What a change in a man's life. A man who couldn't be trusted to keep his book straight is now writing in the book. He's now writing down every single word of the Lord Jesus Christ. So Matthew's life was turned upside down. Matthew's home was turned upside down. Because we read, don't we? He invites all his friends, the publicans and sinners. He wants to give a meal to the Lord Jesus Christ. He's found the gift of hospitality, just like Lydia did. And all his friends come. And the Pharisees and the scribes look askance and say, what's going on here? And the Lord Jesus Christ takes this wonderful, wonderful opportunity to tell them once again, just like that Scottish minister did when he preached the law. He said, I've not come to save the righteous, good people like you. I've come to call the sinners to repentance. And we can see that Matthew's home was turned upside down. And he sat, listening, waiting on the Lord with all his friends there. What an excellent example of how we can use our homes in the service of God because we want people to hear about the Lord Jesus Christ. His time was turned upside down. His home was turned upside down. His life was turned upside down because Matthew followed the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, I know we look askance at written prayers, or some of us do. Oh, we can never have, but there's some great written prayers in the Book of Common Prayer. And one of them begins about us following our own devices and desires. Now, I'm asking for forgiveness. That's a life that Matthew led, following his own devices and desires. And perhaps when we come to pray with ACTS, adoration, confession, thanksgiving and supplication, we might remember, all we like sheep have gone astray. We've done our own thing in our own way. And yet the Lord laid our iniquity on him. We have followed and we do follow our own devices and desires. And yet the Lord Jesus Christ calls us as sinners to follow him, to forgive us, to grant us repentance, to grant us faith, and to learn our lives upside down. And so we're very grateful for Matthew following the Lord Jesus Christ, not in his own power, but in the power that God gave him. Follow me. And there's a basic commandment of the Christian life. Don't follow a man. Don't follow a church. Don't follow a tradition. Follow a person, a living person. Follow me, says the Lord Jesus Christ. And if we follow him, everything will fall into place. And if we follow him, we will want to have a relationship with him. And we'll want to ask, Lord, where are you going to lead me in my Christian service? And it's wonderful, isn't it, to follow the Lord when we know that we're doing something for him in his strength, in his power. When we walk with the Lord in the light of his word, what a glory he sheds on our way when we do his good will and we follow him still. Trust and obey. Well, may we, like Matthew, trust and obey. May we not set store like Matthew on the things of this world, which ultimately will not do us any good at all. May we know that money is good, but may we know that the riches that we have in our Lord Jesus Christ are far, far better, and our full and free salvation, if we follow the Lord Jesus Christ, is something which will have rewards out of this world. Thank you.